It's time to let the light in, let the light in. What's so weak?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin in Cherche, France. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. So join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our hosts Kevin and Cher from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello everyone and welcome to Turn the Light On with Kevin and Cher.
Hey, hey.
Hey, it's another amazing week in the Lord, and I'm just super excited to be here with you, Cher, and to be talking about miracles and Jesus and
how was your life. How was your weekend?
It was good.
Yeah,
man. We had a great weekend, man. Church is
it's been so
going
beautiful.
Really good.
So pretty outside.
Weather's been amazing.
I feel like we haven't had cool weather this often. I don't know. I don't remember last year being cool at all. Was it?
Felt like it was hot all year.
The whole
last
time.
Year,
I was in shorts. So we're about through all of our sweaters. It's about time for the hot weather to come through, right?
Absolutely.
Our three sweaters and are still wearing flip-flops.
Yeah, I had to put on
some closed toe shoes. My feet were getting cold.
But trying to stay connected.
Oh, that's funny. Anyways, well, that's good. I'm glad you had a good weekend.
All right.
Yeah, so we've got another miracle. It's according to our calculations and our research, it's miracle 32.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the healing of the woman with the 18-year infirmity.
This
Can
is a short one.
Having an infirmity for 18 years. I know a lot of people have dealt with things for a long time.
Well, this is encouraging.
In their life.
It's so cool how every single one of these is to target or specifically address
a certain
situation
that's really cool.
In the present, and that these stories that Jesus did were thousands of years ago, you know, and how relative they would be for us today, you know, and encouraging us.
18 years is a long time.
That's a long time, you know.
That's literally a childhood.
Yeah, right, right.
So I'm fascinated by it. But this story is actually located in Luke chapter 13, 10 through 17.
This is that NET version again. What is that?
Yeah.
New English translation, maybe?
Yeah. I think so.
Anyways, okay. Let's go. You going to read?
So, yeah, I like the different translations here and there. You know, it gives it a different.
Sometimes they're just easier to understand, you know?
Feel.
I like cross referencing multiple ones and kind of seeing, you know, always the New King James and then kind of take it from there. But go ahead. Why don't you read for us?
Right. So, Luke 13, 10 through 17 says this. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and a woman was there who had been disabled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten herself up completely. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, "Woman, you are freed from your infirmity." Then he placed his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. But the president of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work should be done, so come and be healed on those days and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from its stall and lead it to water? Then shouldn't this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years long, be released from this imprisonment on the Sabbath day?" And when he said this, all his adversaries were humiliated, but the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing.
Yes, the Pharisees were spoiled again. You know, Jesus just keeps. So here's another Sabbath miracle.
Did he do miracles any other day of the week?
A couple times it said.
That's the real question.
But the revelation of this has a twofold, right? So we're talking about a physical ailment and something spiritual. And we've talked about this before, how I change how I pray sometimes. I actually had someone that was bent over in a Walmart.
This
sounds so close to the story. Yeah, I was thinking about it and God healed her. But the first time I prayed for her, she just said, "Well, the pain just moved." And I was like, "Ooh, wait a minute."
Spiritual pain.
This is spiritual. So this is a physical ailment caused by a demon, you know, and it's very clear. That's exactly what it says in here. And
so I think we can basically look at Scripture and say there are ailments that are caused by demonic activity
That's
in our life.
Yeah. And I think it's important to point out, like, this person had been dealing with an infirmity for 18 years. But that doesn't mean that in our hearts we need to assume that we have to have an infirmity now for 18 years or 20 years, that we have to suffer. Jesus was coming to say, here's my name. I'm here. I'm on the scene now. And you can use this authority and be healed.
I think
that, you know, yes, there are circumstances and there are people that are dealing with this. But I think it's important not to make your mindset think, well, I'm just supposed to, you know, be caught up in this infirmity my life. And, you know, I don't know if that makes sense to you. But what I'm just trying to say is just, you know, have heart. We have Jesus now. This person didn't know of Jesus. Jesus is just showing up on the scene. So there wasn't hope and there wasn't the authority to take a hold and get rid of these demonic forces ever until this point. And now we have that. It's different.
Yeah, I'm still just amazed at the response of the religious people.
It shows you you really can be blind and
revealing
deaf.
The hearts of the people. Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, it's hard to believe that, you know, they could be that calloused, that they could be that hardened in their hearts, that somebody just got healed and all you can think about is the fact that, well, who healed them on the Sabbath?
Yeah. It's like they don't care about that part. They completely overlook the fact that this has changed this woman's life. 18 years she was suffering. But there's just concern that you did it. You broke the rules and you did it on the wrong day according to their scrolls, you know.
And you're making us look bad.
Yeah.
I think we're seeing more of that.
Oh, yeah. There was definitely about – it was more about them than it ever was about really speaking the word about this – Son of God that was coming, and here he is, and they don't even see it. So crazy.
Hey, Jesus rebuked him, though.
Yes, he did.
And he let him have it. He rebuked their hypocrisy, and he really called out their value system. You know, and I love that about God, because God will call out your value system, Cher.
That's right. You make up your own rules and how you think things are supposed to go down, and it's just a bunch of religion.
Our own ideas about what we think is important, you know, and you know, many times in ministry, I've seen people put last over processes. I've seen people put last over, work and things that need to be done. And you know, we got to be really careful, you know.
Well, you know, side note, you and I were talking. I think this is a really good place to insert this. You know, in the end, when everything is said and done, there's one thing that will be the most important thing out of anything when we stand by ourselves, and it's going to be, did you know him?
Right.
Did you know Jesus?
That is so good.
Did you know him? And, you know, the works and the things that we do are yes, important, because it's how we get more people healed and more people to know Jesus. But it all leads back to Jesus. And so, do you have a relationship with him?
Yeah.
And Jesus is trying to help them understand it was about the relationships he was building with people, that people are the most important thing, the love of people and seeing them set free. And, you know,
well, I think we got to look at Scripture and see that God is love. And when we see things happening from a religious perspective with religious people, you and I have talked about this too.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, where's the love?
Where's the love?
Where's the love
That's
in
right.
that? You know,
right.
all I'm seeing is condemnation.
Right.
All I'm seeing
calling
is,
out, focused, you know, on the what Satan's doing. I think a lot of people get really hung up. Satan's doing this, the enemy's doing that. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, this, the way this is even written, think about it. It could have been written where the whole thing was about how terrible this demon was.
Right.
This demon, and it hunched her over, and this demon hurt her back, and then she cried out, and then da-da-da-da. You know, the focus is the fact, yes, okay, this is what was going on with her, but it's all about Jesus, his goodness, his love, him healing her, and then him trying to get these Pharisees to see what he was doing was the most important thing, and they're missing it still, you know?
For sure. You know, I love the idea that, you know, he's like, you know, you would release your own ox. You would go and you'd bring it to water. You would, but yet you wouldn't want me to release this person.
Exactly.
You know, and I think like when I see that and it's saying you'd bring them to water, you know, and the Bible says that, you know, that God is, Jesus is living water.
That's
And he is water. And people are thirsty. People are thirsty for a move of God. They're thirsty to see God doing something in their life. And he's like just bringing that back around to them. And he's saying, you've got your own animals and you'd bring them to water. Why would you be so religious that you wouldn't want somebody to be brought to living water,
right,
me, Jesus, and actually see them healed because it's on the Sabbath day,
right?
And it's a day that supposedly you're supposed to be working and
right. And but he was trying to show them, this is what you do on the Sabbath. This is what I was talking about, is where you're in that sweet spot. But they had decided all these rules. You know, another thing is, I think Satan was not the only one here that's like binding. You know, they said that the demon bound her for 18 years, but we've got religious leaders that are doing the same thing.
Yeah, they're binding people up.
They're binding them with the laws and the rules and this religious rituals instead of the relationships that you build out of love. That's
sure
pretty much what we're talking about here.
You know, Jesus demonstrates the hypocrisy of Israel's leadership, you know, and how they've perverted the Sabbath. And how they have no compassion for people.
No,
you know,
it's gone.
The Sabbath was made for the benefit of man, you know, not for the bondage.
Right.
And, you know, I really feel like the Sabbath day was given as a day of rest, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at rest, why wouldn't you want this woman to have rest from her infirmity, to be moved into the Sabbath?
Well, right, but what you're saying is to view other people as being more important than your own importancy of yourself, you know?
Right.
And so that's a different, totally different way to look at it, right? I mean, it's such a good point. It's like it has to do with the other person having rest versus you so concerned about laying around. But yet, that, you know, it was okay for them to take care of their animals.
Well, the Sabbath was also a sign of the Mosaic covenant, you know, being mm-hmm. under the law.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus was about to abolish the law. He's like, you know, we've come under the submission to the law and the rules. And all they did is show us that we really can't do it.
Well, right, and you know, God
needed a savior.
We did.
We needed someone to come along and release us from our bondage.
And what God did in the law was make provision for man by sacrificing animals. That's how we had to do that.
Right,
you know?
To cover our sins. But, you know, I love in Hebrews, it says, but how much more will the blood of Jesus purge your conscience from dead works?
So good.
So you can serve what the living God,
that's
you know?
That's such a good scripture. Yeah, they had taken the animals and made them more important here than humanity. And, you know, they not only had missed the Sabbath, but they missed the very point of that law. And I've always said, you know, and this is a little bit of a sticky topic, but if we told people about animals and puppies being born and kittens being born the way that we talked about abortion, people would freak out.
Yeah.
Because there's this importance, and we love animals.
Right,
I'm not
right.
saying this at all, that we don't love them. They were put here on earth to be our companions and bring us joy, you know, but they're not above humans. But yet I think that there's so many animal rights activists and things like that out there that have put the same weight on animals as the Pharisees are doing here, that it's just really interesting to think about that way, that if you describe
that person is not important.
Right, but if you described it as, oh, they're ripping all the kittens out, you know, and they're none of them are getting to live, and you know, people would just freak out. It's so interesting how that same law can be applied to things, you know, today, and you know, that lack of compassion it's a result of this religious system that Jesus is constantly every miracle trying to break, and he does it every which way. I mean, he does it like
I don't think there's a way he didn't come against it. You know,
no, he's like, oh, this man's gonna
Sabbath.
Yeah, the man that manifests actually in the church, and then the man that came that was blind, and now we've got a woman. You know, she probably had osteoporosis or something
like
something
that. Yeah, that's what we were saying earlier.
Her.
You know, with your bent over, and
right? Because
you've
seen people that they lose that calcium and stuff in their bones or vitamin D and stuff, and they can't. They're arched over, you know, so that's probably something that she had going on. But What a wild story. Just another really good.
That's an amazing miracle.
It really is. And, you know, I think we have time for another one.
Let's dive into miracle number 33.
Yeah, let's do it.
And that's the healing of the man with dropsy.
Dropsy. So we're going to talk about what that means, because I was like, what is this term?
Dropsy.
But Luke 14, 1 through 6 says, now one Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a leader of the Pharisees, they were watching him closely. Of course they were. There right in front of him was a man whose body was swollen with fluid. So Jesus asked the experts in religious law and the Pharisees, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent.
I wonder why.
Yeah. So Jesus took hold of the man, healed him, and sent him away. Then he said to them, which of you, if you have a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on the Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out? But they could not reply to this.
Yeah.
So this is like a continuation. You know,
we're doing these in chronological order.
So Jesus is really now grabbing a hold of this animal versus.
Yeah. Well, I think he healed the woman, and now he's like, here, bring me that guy too. You know,
yeah.
Let's really drive this point home.
Yeah, there's a couple points here. Like Luke tells us that Jesus was invited to eat by a prominent Pharisee.
Yeah.
The Pharisees were known for their opposition to him. Obviously, they had it out for him. But yet, you know, Jesus still reached out to them and was
He's like, I will come dine with you.
And I think it's important to remember that, because part of that is to remember that, you know, you're not supposed to just stay in your little bubble of people that all agree on what you do. The way that we reach the world is by, we don't condone what people are doing that may be different than us or against what God says, but that's just, you know, anyways.
Well, I love it. They said he was carefully watching each of them, you know, and if you break that down, it really means to watch on the side or to watch with insidiousness, you know. In other words, they were watching out of the corner of their eyes, hoping to catch him and get him to do something. And so Jesus is like, hey, you know what? You want to look at me out of the corner of your eye? Here we go. Come here. Hey, bring me that guy.
Right.
You
know, right.
Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Watch this. Boom. I guess it is.
Right. It's like,
I love that.
It is really wild. You know,
this guy had dropsy though.
I was looking at that.
I had never heard that term. Right.
Yeah. It's like edema. Have you ever heard of edema? So in our day, that's what it would be called. And it's a swelling of a body part, and it gets engorged, like a grotesque size.
I've seen that with people's feet sometimes with diabetes.
It builds up. This fluid cannot drain, and it builds up, and it literally drowns that organ in fluid. It's very painful, and it can be a heart, a kidney, a liver. It's lots of different things. This person was very close to death. It can be eyes. So the way that it sounds like they were very right in front of them was a man whose body was swollen. They were very easily able to tell.
He's really got a problem.
You could see it with their eyes, you know. It was visible.
I would think the religious crowd didn't care for him at all. The guy, I don't think they had anything. Their only interest was to use him to trap Jesus. You know, I think they really looked down on people. I think the Pharisees and the Sadducees of that day and age were really like kind of like a celebrity in a way, or they would look down on people.
Do you think that
very narcissistic probably?
Right. Were they eating outside or what? Because it says that the guy just came right in front of them. Jesus is sitting down to eat. A lot of things were more open back then.
You know,
I'm just kind of picturing in my head. Sure. Was he like knock, 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 and just came walking up to the table while they were eating? If they were in this prominent place, it kind of seems like those people wouldn't have been just allowed to just burst in. Like, was it a setup?
That's what I think. I think they probably brought this guy to the Pharisee's house. Let's see if he'll heal him.
Yeah, while we're at the table, send in that man with the fluid. Go find another person.
Send him in. See if he'll do something on the Sabbath
so we can just record this
again.
They
were sneaky, man.
They really were, but, you know.
But Jesus has his response, right?
It does.
Because his heart goes out to this guy, you know, and he wouldn't compromise his value that people come first.
And I love
that about God. He's still like that. You know, people come first. People are precious to the Lord. And, you know, what would he do?
Right.
You know, he's not sorry, buddy, it's a Sabbath. I'm not going to heal you today.
Right. And the room grows quiet. You know, Jesus is up for the challenge. The Pharisees believe that one could only help someone on the Sabbath if that person's life were in danger or being lost. And
if they're in danger of death.
Right. So Jesus asks them that key question, and he shifts the focus to the attention from himself to the Pharisees and these lawyers that are all gathered at this table.
Oh, the lawyers were there.
Oh, yeah. So isn't that funny? But the Lord, he has a way of asking these questions that opens up a person's heart. And I really think that he challenged them. This was the first time that they didn't have a rebuttal back to him.
Right.
I think they were like, ooh, you know, we got him again. But he's looking around at them and he's like, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? He's like, which is it?
He's challenging the law now.
He really is. And he's making sense of it in a way that somehow analytically they were able to say,
they didn't say anything.
They didn't say anything, you know. He wasn't asking if it was a legitimate, according to the law of Moses. He was asking them to give their opinion, was this appropriate or not? You know, they didn't anticipate him asking that question, and it perplexed them. You know,
well, I think what he's doing is he's building off of his last statement to them.
Yeah.
Would you loosen your ox and take it? Would you do this? Would you do that? And then now he's like, it should have sunk in by now. So now they're like, man, if we say anything after
now we're going to go against
said all that, he's going to hit us even harder.
Well, we're going to go against what we've been.
And
right. He's making them look silly again.
Making us look like we're uncaring, unsensitive.
Well, it's what they've been preaching. They're like, oh, this is the law. This is what we do.
Right.
And now all of a sudden it's like, well, is it or not? You know, he's definitely messing with them. You know, if they had spoke up against the healing on the Sabbath of this very needy man, then the state of their hearts would have been revealed. So they're not that we don't obviously see it when we're reading this,
but,
you know, so they didn't want to permit him to heal on the Sabbath, but they were actually Jesus kind of put them in a trap. You know, they knew that the scriptures had no limitations on acts of compassion on the Sabbath. Like, Jesus has finally got them to a point where now they can't even say anything.
Yeah, they're remaining silent.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But, you know, I love that Jesus, just out of compassion and love for people,
mm-hmm.
was willing to break the rules.
Because
he's a rebel. He's just...
Right.
You know, he's unwilling to compromise people's hearts, and he's unwilling to compromise people's lives and their needs for religious...
Yeah.
Mumbo jumbo, really. I mean, I haven't said that word in a long time.
Mumbo jumbo. I mean.
But it really is he's like, you guys got all these rules. This is ridiculous.
The man's drowning in fluid. And, you know, shouldn't this son, he's a son, be released from drowning, which is what, you know, they're thinking. The passage ends.
Only if their life's in danger.
Well, the passage ends, and Luke says that they have nothing to say. It was how cold-hearted this false religion could be. They just couldn't even say anything.
It's like that. It's still that way today
it
in
is.
Some ways. But
really
hey,
is.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and just kind of wrap up this miracle.
Yeah, sounds good.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Cher, it's been really exciting to talk
miracles.
About some of this.
Yeah, we knocked out
and
two.
And this last miracle has actually been what?
So, you know, this is the last of the seven miracles that Jesus performs on Sabbath days, because we kept talking about
right.
were there any.
We
so
really
this
enhanced
is,
that.
This was the last one. There were set. You know, there were seven in a row, and so we see here what happens to the unconverted mind because of all this unbelief and this lack of love. We've talked about this lack of compassion.
Sure.
It's inevitable that they are rejecting God, because we know God is love. So in this, there's this parallel happening. They're rejecting people and the compassion in their hearts for people, which is the love that we keep, you know, all the time. Where's the love, you know?
Right.
And it's inevitable that they're actually rejecting Jesus now, and he is love.
Yeah.
And, you know, how distorted the Pharisees made all of this, and how they kept twisting it and trying to get it back to this strange, you know, place to make
sure.
it make sense, and it just
absolutely.
Didn't, you know, they were
well,
just.
By these deeds of healing, you know, Jesus honors it specifically as a day of showing mercy.
Right.
He's trying to rewrite the Sabbath to them. And I just want to kind of flip this around and bring this to everyday life for each and every one of us. You see, when you accept Jesus in your life, every day in Jesus is God's Sabbath day and his day of mercy
right.
for your life.
That's right.
You have moved into not just the Sabbath being one day a week, but you've moved into a place of rest that is found in Jesus, where every moment of every day is the Sabbath. So now we can live in rest.
That's right.
You know, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened
right.
and heavy laden, and I will give you
rest.
Rest.
Right.
So I love that.
Yeah, you know, that's
that
so good.
Jesus is wanting us to move into rest with each other as well, you know, because so many times, Cher, we're coming at each other with rules.
Right,
and
right.
You didn't do this. I expected this and
right.
that. And there's no mercy. There's no love.
Well, where's the love?
Where's the love?
Where's the love? That's been
it.
Our motto for months now, of just seeing these movements and things happening around us, that where you can get caught up in the focus and it's in the wrong place. So just make sure we're always having that compassion and that love for other person people, because I know that God heals and does amazing things and fills us, Kevin, when we put our focus on other people. There's something really cool. When we're resting in the Lord, we give to other people. And then
peace
that is right. And that
love.
Is, and it comes back. It's like this circle, you know?
It's the fruit of the Spirit.
It
flows from a place of rest, which
really
is found
does.
In God on the Sabbath day. Hope you guys enjoyed the program. We'll see you tomorrow here at Turn the Light On.
Bye, guys.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Maryland, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.